judge how long I've been preaching. Today is the day of Pentecost. We really get to hear today the tale of two Pentecosts. And they're very different. In the book of Acts, we get a story that is actually very disturbing. They use the word bewildering in it, but the essence is it's disturbing them. It's not something that even relates to the gospel that we'll hear about in a minute. It was very created stress in their lives. Then we get the Gospel of John's version, one of my favorite texts, that is that of bringing peace to them, bringing a calming to them and hope. In the reading just before today, it says that they gathered. There were 120 believers that had gathered, and during that time, they had decided on the replacement for Judas. We heard that last week. And so 120, this event happened. Now, Pentecost, why even be there to begin with in Jerusalem? Pentecost literally means 50th. And this was the 50th day after Passover. And in their tradition, they had a festival. And that festival was called Shavuot. Shavuot. It's actually oat at the end. Like oat, like you're from Minnesota. Deb, you here? No? Okay. We can have her say it for us. And this festival, they celebrated the receiving of the holy gift of the law and the Torah at Mount Sinai. That's what they were gathered. That's why they were there in the first place to be in Jerusalem at that time. Now it says, while they were there, there was this rush of a violent wind. The word violent, it's a powerful thing, if you think about it. Being from Oklahoma, our violent winds twirl. The winds here also get very violent, but they're very different. They are, and can be just as destructive, depending on how strong the straight line winds are here. Well, not as destructive as something giant tornado coming through, but can still do damage. But it's that experience of a violent wind. And this is what they experienced. And these 120 people, it says that they were in the house and that this spirit filled it. I mean, in my mind, I can think about the chaos and that, I mean, it's, oh, the Holy Spirit comes in all gentle. Not in Acts. Comes in and creates this chaos, fills this room, this space where 120 people are, and tongues of fire appear among them. Not very peaceful. But through that, being filled by the Spirit, they began speaking in other languages. Now, this was such a ruckus, really, that people from the town, Jerusalem, they're coming to see what's going on, because this isn't happening when all the people are out there listening to Peter talk. Now, this little ruckus has happened with the believers right there, 120 of them. And so then these people come running to see what's going on. And then 120 people start speaking in the listener's language. You have to know that when it talks about these different languages, those were also different cultures. Interesting that it allows us to know how diverse Judaism was at the time. And we all know that within our own cultures, God speaks to us differently through different tools, different things. They had the common core of their scriptures, but still God speaks to people differently in different cultures. I like that because certainly we experience that in Christianity. Lots of diversity. We have the common core of Jesus, but what Jesus says to us and has us do and live out looks very differently in different places. Now in John, Jesus is dead, and they are scared. They've gathered behind locked doors. I can imagine that feeling too. lost. You know, that whole Good Friday experience of losing our friend. We have given up everything that we have. We've given up our old identities and taken on this new identity in Jesus, this leader that's going to be our Messiah, that's going to restore the people of Israel. And he's gone. They didn't know what to do. So they go and hide. And Jesus, in good fashion, appears to them. Not as this violent rushing wind that we get in Acts, but he just appears to them. And his first words are, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And here's my favorite piece. He breathed on them. And can't you visualize that mighty rushing wind coming right out of the mouth of their Lord and Savior, breathing peace on them? Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive it. Now, like I said, two very different encounters. I wonder which one we need. Do we need a mighty rushing wind to come into our lives in a way that makes us uncomfortable, a little bewildered, a little nervous, that pushes us in a direction that the Spirit would want us to go? Now, this is the same Spirit that pushed Jesus out in the wilderness. Wasn't a really great time for him, but it ended well. Well, being pushed by the Spirit is not something that we would always ask for, but sometimes we need it. Sometimes we're complacent. Sometimes we're unwilling to use the gifts the Spirit has given us. We've got a list of gifts, spiritual gifts today. And that's the thing. Our spiritual gifts change and they grow. They're not always the same. And that's why sometimes it's more frightening. We get settled into the gifts we like to do. And we become complacent because it's familiar. But the Spirit's not complacent and doesn't want us to be either. And pushes us forward with whatever nerves that might rattle. Though, so many times in my life, and I know in yours too, that we have longed for that breath of Jesus to breathe upon us that peace. It's this balance of the diversity of the Holy Spirit that we get today. Mighty rushing wind and the breath of God. Both active parts of our lives, both just as necessary, but us being able to accept each of those when that time comes. Only you know which one you need right now. I know what some of you need because I'm active in your stories right now. And others, which one do you need? Need a little kick in the pants? A little Holy Spirit-driven motivation? Or do we need to rest in the breath of God? Amen.